Welcome, everybody, to take two of today's Pulling on Heaven podcast, Western shirt edition. Look at that. We each got the memo to wear our nice Western shirts with little pearl buttons. We both rode our horses here to the set, to the studio today.
And did you leave your holster?
I left my holster
on the saddle.
And everything, yeah, outside. Mine too. And we moseyed on here into the saloon. And are you going to visual effects this into a saloon for us, Jonathan?
Wow.
Pastor, how are you?
Wine saloon. I'm doing great, Steve. How are you today?
Oh, I am
obviously
so good.
You're doing really well.
You talked about this being the year of joy. So we're just going to bring joy into this and everything that we do.
You know,
right?
I think I've laughed a lot this year.
Yes.
It just, you know, we had that laughing outpouring moment that actually, it was really
kicked off the year.
It was really insightful for me. I mean, after I left and started thinking about how I felt, and you know, it was quite a revelation.
You were talking about that in service the other day.
Yeah, I was. Joy throughout the year. I mean, expect and look for joy. Look for things that make you laugh. You know, the joy of the Lord shows up in more ways than. And more places than we're aware of, and sometimes we just have such a negative demeanor and looking for the wrong outcome. Man, look for things that make you happy. Laugh a little bit. Love.
If you've tuned in looking for someone to laugh at,
it's healing. I'm telling you, I laughed so hard. The one of the last two podcasts we did, I went home and told my wife. I said, if you could laugh like this more often,
goodness. I'd never seen you laugh like that.
I honestly had to say I don't think I ever have. It started out as a laugh, you know, just laughing at something you said that I found humorous. But man, it erupted. It
I
felt
think we
like
have video of that. Let's go to that right now.
Right.
And we're back. So
I think the Spirit of God, I know the Spirit of the Lord just took advantage of that moment and showed me something in a minute's time, which tells you, be aware, God's around all the time and he's going to do something incredible if you'll just listen to him and stop resisting him.
Yeah.
And, you know, be happy, be excited.
Absolutely.
The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we're called to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So,
fantastic. Well, you know, speaking of, you know, a recent service and you talking about joy, we were talking beforehand that, you know, I don't normally take notes in sermons. I know some people do, and I'm sure those people get way more out of the services than I do, but I still think I get a lot about it. But something I did, so I wasn't at service this week, got stuck in a little traffic accident. I wasn't in the accident, but a big rig fall over. And, you know, the way that God sometimes, remember where sometimes you said, you once had a sermon called, this is going to be back, is it an obstacle or an arrow?
Yeah.
So the obstacle of the semi-truck blocking the freeway for me was an arrow.
I know where you're going.
Pointing me to Sugarfish and had a great sushi lunch instead of making dessert.
So you missed one meal and went for another.
Yeah, I missed one.
Although
meal.
Although you didn't miss it, you
no. I watched it, and there was a quote. Like I said, I don't normally take notes or anything, but there was a quote that you said that really struck me. That caused me, oh my gosh, I got to write this down. I even went back and I made sure I got it right. And what you said was, well, you said he didn't come to exert his influence over the world. He came to share his relationship with the Father.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that is so profound on so many different levels, because you can take it even a personal level. You know, he doesn't want to exert his influence on us in that sense. You say, God, just make me this.
Right.
God, just take this from me. God, just make me do what you want me to do. And that's not what he's interested in at all. And then also when you look at a bigger level, like if you think of the history of the church that has done so much, you know, a lot of great stuff in the history of the church, but a lot of bad stuff in the history of the church as it's gone around the world and subjugating people and missteps like that. And then even today, as we try to relate to the world, we end up pushing the world away so much because we're trying to think that God wants to exert something over people versus to share the relationship of who he is.
Yeah.
But I think as we were talking, the idea that even of what that means, relationship, and you hear things like, well, he's not, you know, he's, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And you hear these things that certain words start becoming these catchphrases that get so overused that we begin to, I think, lose the essence of the true understanding of what they mean.
Yeah. Yeah, true, true. Well, Jesus came, the word says, Jesus talking to some Jews in John chapter 8, and around 29, 30, 31, he says, you'll know the truth. He says, if you keep my word, he said, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth. Key word right there, and the truth will set you free. And that word truth goes so deep and so vast. It's so dimensional in so many ways that if you understand what it is, what he's talking about, it changes your world. It does exactly what Jesus said. It sets you free. So God is all authority. He's all power. He's all might, but he's the truth. Jesus is the truth, not knows the truth, not says it once in a while or even all the time. He is the truth. So you can say to know him is to know the truth. To know him in his reality, not our sense of his reality, is to be in the word relationship. But you're right. That's been used so many times. It's a phrase that loses some of the influence of what it really means, the relationship to the word. God is all authority, all power. Jesus says all power in heaven and earth, he said, is given to me. But what is that power? What is that authority? So let's look at the life of Jesus so maybe we better understand what we're talking about here. When Jesus came into the world, he came, the word says, he humbled himself to the hand of God. All authority, all power, all might was given to him, and he's humbling himself to the will of the Father, okay? So Jesus did not exert his authority on anyone. He came to share his relationship with the Father, because that's where authority lies. Mm-hmm. That's where true power is. And so let's think of what that authority was. One word, love. For God so loved the world. The scripture says those that dwell in love dwell in God, because that's who he is. So God is love, not just a sense of affection or feel good or feel happy. So far beyond, and let's say it like this, he wants only what allows you to share his nature, to be a part of who you are, the truth. So Jesus didn't come just exercising all authority and all power. He said, I could have legions of angels come in a moment. All I'd have to do is say a word, and they would deliver me if that's what I came for. But I came to share the heart of the Father. He's talking to some Jews in John chapter 8, and he says, and the word said some of the Jews believed. Okay, so some Jews believed. And he came and he said, he's talking about his relationship with the Father. He said, I'm talking to you about the Father. And the word says they didn't understand until he said, listen, the Father is with me always. I'm not doing anything on my own. Everything I do as I've seen and know the Father to do. He said, so I'm representing the Father. Okay, that's the truth or identity or relationship. But what Jesus is doing is he's relating his relationship with the Father so we learn how to relate in relationship to God.
Yeah.
To relate, okay, not just relationship, overused word. We relate to him, which means we begin to understand his identity. You know, Jesus didn't come to just exert authority and make us believe. He could have done anything.
Yeah.
He could make a bunch of yes men, robots, but our honor, what blesses us, and it goes all the way back to Genesis, when God created man, Genesis 1:26, is we have the power, we call it free will, but we have the opportunity to believe on our own accord what is true, and in doing so, we deny the lie. So that makes us free. Pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
How does the truth make us free? We accept it. We accept the truth as the truth. In so doing, we don't have to tell a lie, it's a lie, because a lie is a non-reality. A lie means it's not real. It doesn't really exist, only in some format, some theme or story in your mind. So the truth sets us free from what isn't true. Real simple. Because we get caught up in the lives we live and the world we exist in because of its challenges and opportunities. And we get caught up in a non-reality, things that aren't true, things that aren't real, things that are more religious in nature, things that are more the ideas of man. Paul warns us about that. Christ warns us about that. You know, let the Spirit of the Lord teach you, lead you, guide you in the way that you should go. So Jesus didn't come forcing his truth into our lives. He presented his relationship with the Father, and that's our truth. So he presented how he related to God. And that's what we do. That's who we are.
Yeah.
That's what a relationship really is. The true identity, the truth of a relationship is that we learn to identify with God. Jesus said, he said, the word says that blessed are those who, when they receive the commandment, that when we hear the commandments, we're blessed when they aren't burdensome. They don't feel like a burden.
Yeah.
The commandments of God aren't an exertion, again, of authority of God. They're a presentation of a relationship with God. In other words, the Word of God tells us who we are, so we're not lost. Jesus came to save and heal. He came to save the lost and to heal those that were sick and in more ways than just physically sick, but sick in every area or every aspect that you can imagine,
yeah.
in every way that it exists. And the way he delivers us is by teaching us how to relate to God. The word of the Lord is not an exertion of God's power. Be this way, do that. It's not a command like that. It is God saying to us, if you will relate to me by my word, you'll know who you are.
Yeah.
And if we really knew our initial design from the beginning of time, your world would change. Life just becomes a lot lighter, and we know what it is to be blessed when we do that.
It makes me think of, it's a pretty stark contrast right there when you're talking about when Jesus is sitting there and he's talking to the people, and you have the Pharisees on one hand, and you have Jesus on the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here was religious people, not with a false religion, the religion of the day, the chosen people's religion,
right.
And they had authority that they were putting on the people.
Right.
And they had so much authority that they were even making rules so you didn't even get close to breaking the other rules.
Right.
They had rules for rules for rules to make sure that it was about putting something over you, and they miss completely Jesus being the contrast of that. So when we think of Jesus being here in our lives today to put something over us, well, no, Jesus wasn't the Pharisee. Jesus was against the Pharisee. That's where he's like, he would tell them, you have to repent. You have to change the way you think about God and what it means to relate to him. And it's not about all these things that are being put on you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he loved the Pharisees and the Jews, but it was the doctrine that he came to make right, to give light to say, hey, this is what this word really means.
Yeah.
The word was never given to us to be a weight over us, but the word makes it clear. We see the scriptures because it was saying, hey, look how lost you are. Look how far you've wandered from the truth. And so the word of God is not a burden. It is the truth about our design. It's not saying you need to do this, you have to do this. If we look at it more like saying, this is who I am, God's telling me how free I am. He's telling me how fearfully and wonderfully made I am. He's telling me how much he cares about me. He's not imposing a law over me to be a weight on me. But through religion, tradition, it's still done today. It just stacks. We keep stacking. You have to do this. You have to do that. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it. You know, and it's not about that, because even if you know what to do and you don't understand the heart that it comes from, you misinterpret and you don't do it accurate. Don't do it right anyway.
Well, and even if you do it right, you have Jesus saying to people, many will come to me and say, didn't we do this,
exactly.
and this in your name? He's like, and what's he say? He says, you didn't know me. You didn't relate to me. You didn't understand who I was and what I was doing through you.
Yeah, because they do the acts as a form of employment. You know, it's like Christians get saved and now we're employed by heaven.
It's my job to do.
Yeah, to do the word. You know, we're like baggers or, you know, handymen or plumbers or doctors or whatever. We're just employed into the kingdom. That's not the truth at all. Jesus came and he said, I'm sharing with you that I have the ability, and I want to share that with you. It's all about sharing. Love is all about sharing. And he said, I want to share how I relate to the Father. Because when you relate to God, because you are designed to relate to him, then you have a relationship. But just saying that word, it's not about religion, it's about relationship, doesn't mean anything if you don't know what you're talking about. Okay? And I relate to God. So a couple of things. I told you earlier, I said, I really would like to take any of the stones that we, as church, as Christendom, Christianese, any of the stones we've thrown in the way that cause people to twist their ankles, stumble and fall, and then blame the devil or blame God or blame someone. You know, just cast blame somewhere. I want to take those stones out of the way. Let's see if we can make the path a little clearer. God give us wisdom, insight, and understanding so we can make that path a little straighter, a little clearer. That's what the word says, making the crooked way straight. John came preaching, make straight the way of the Lord.
So, absolutely.
You know, this year, throughout this year, we want to see that happen because we'll run faster. You know, we'll get from point A to point B more rapidly, more quickly.
Can I just intercede with something right along that point? Because going to staying where we were just for 1 second, the idea that John, what you just said is just like blowing my mind, because John came saying, make straight the way to the Lord, right? Straight the way of the Lord. And like, as we said, you had the Pharisees that were putting something on everybody. And who is that? And then Jesus shows up. So Jesus is the fulfillment of making straight the way of the Lord. And that just shows you that contrast of the two pictures that I think we don't tend to contrast enough.
Right.
And that idea of as we try to walk out this religion, it's kind of like, how much is that religion still the same old covenant in just new dressing that Jesus came to?
Yeah, very much so. Well, a couple of things. When a Pharisee was guilty, they wanted to put more burden on someone. It's kind of like, you know, misery loves company. So, you know, let me burden you with something. Jesus said it like this. He said, you burden them with things that you won't use your little finger to lift. You know, you won't do anything to do what you're telling them they have to do. And again, what are we looking at here? Jesus is saying, listen, you're looking at this all wrong. This is not to be a burden. This is a revelation that God wants to share his heart with you. That's what the word is, God sharing his heart with you. God saying, this is who you are. You know, it's not a commandment do, it's more of a commandment of my design. I am.
Yeah.
I do love God. I wouldn't conceive having any other gods before me. I'm not a thief, you know. I'm not a liar, you know. I'm not envious or bitter or hateful, you know. The word is not an imposition; it's an expression of who God's identity is. His love. What is God's identity's love? What does love do? It shares. Jesus is saying in this passage, and he said it numerous times, he said, I'm showing you how I am who I am. I am who I am because I share in relationship with the Father. I identify with the Father. Now, to religious people, it made them, I mean, they're furious. You make yourself God. And he said, hang on. He said, listen, even in your own poet said that we are gods, little gods, meaning we are created, formed by God, God himself. But it becomes so convoluted because of conviction that isn't clarified. Mm-hmm. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? Change your mind. Change your mind. It doesn't mean you have to work hard. But it doesn't mean that you don't put your effort, your energy, all in all, love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. It doesn't mean we don't do that.
No, you're putting your energy somewhere, so we turn it to where it's supposed to be.
That's why we have it. We're created to express ourselves with our strength. It's giving it your all, you know, putting your all into it, because you believe it. You have conviction towards it. And God didn't send Christ to exert power of the kingdom of heaven over man. He came to share the authority that he created us to share in, and Christ represented that. So Jesus said things like, what you hear me say, it's what the Father has taught me. What you see me do, it's what I've seen the Father do. So he was sharing his relationship so we could see the picture. We had a representative of, hey, he is showing us what it is to relate to God. This is what it feels like to feel God. You could say feel like God, not in the sense that you feel like you are God, but to feel his heart, to feel his reality, his life. And he came to give us eternal life. So Jesus didn't come imposing his will, or he would have just everyone would have fallen to their knees. And, you know, people get upset and say, well, why doesn't God just, you know, if he's so good and loving and kind, why does all this evil happen? Why does all this evil exist? Why doesn't he do something about it? And my response back is, well, he did. He sent his son. But what you're talking about to eradicate it is you're asking God to kill everybody, including yourself. So, you know, let's rethink this. You know, let's approach this with a little more forethought. So God sent his son in to show us a relationship with the Father, and then God has given us something incredible. He's given us his word, which is enlightenment to the reality of the truth. There's your identity. What is our identity? The truth. I know the truth. People get lost. There are so many people so lost today in identity from everything from how they believe, whether they're, you know, what gender they are, or where they came from. Is this the future, the past? You know, in every respect you could imagine, they're lost. Jesus said, I want to show you your identity. Your identity is who I've created you to be. I created you in my image and in my likeness. That's your identity. That's the form that I have made you to be. And if we fall back into the arms of in the beginning, everything seems to turn around and clarity comes. It's such a role reversal. In the sense that instead of the effort to try and work it out, we just stop and say, I receive the truth, and the truth has made me free. How do I do that? We said, if you keep my word, now, listen, it's not if you just fight to keep my, he said, if you keep it, what does he say? I've given it to you. You are the embodiment of my word. Keep the truth about who you are.
Yeah.
What is that? In the beginning, God created man in his image, men and women, in his image and in his likeness, created he them male and female. And then he did something incredible. He blessed them. Barak, he blessed us. He favorably, if you will, congratulated us for having his likeness and his image. And he said, now keep this. How do we do it? Well, there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch that. That's your will. Turn your will towards me. Deny what your eyes see, and I'll show you what I see. Deny what your senses say, and I'll show you what my spirit says. So it was a way of empowering us so we could share. Because if we don't have a will to say either yes or no, then that's not sharing. That's robotic. You know, that's programming. You know, but when God gives us the will, he gives us faith to accommodate the will, or if you will, to take the will of man and use it to agree with the will of the Father. That's love. That's the word of God. The word of God is telling us who we are so we don't break covenant with our identity in Christ.
Wow. It makes me think of God's promise in the Old Testament. It says, I will take the laws and I will write them on your heart.
Yeah.
Because it's like we keep wanting to write them on the outside.
Yeah.
But the way that he writes them in our heart is by us taking on.
Yeah.
By relating to him and him birthing that in us. And I love what you just said. We become the keepers of it.
We do. Yeah.
We're like entrusted with something.
We're entrusted with a gift, and that gift is God. Christ in you. The hope of glory. I in you, Jesus said, and you in me as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It's the ability to identify. Jesus says it like this. Listen to the identifying markers in the word. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross. Now, it doesn't mean we have to go out here and build some big wooden cross and carry it around, you know, but God bless Arthur Blessed for representing that.
He did
an incredible job doing that, preaching the gospel. He used it as a tool to be able to share the word. But Jesus,
he did it so we don't have to.
He did it. Jesus did it so we don't have to. But why?
Well, I was saying Arthur did too.
Arthur, exactly. So he became a testimony, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it was a good representative of what Jesus was talking about spiritually.
Absolutely.
So take up your cross, number one. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross. Well, we don't go grab a, you know, we're not going to build a big wooden cross and start dragging it every morning when we get up. What is he saying? Identify.
Yeah.
Identify with me. What's the next one? We are crucified with Christ. Okay, we're not going to go and be nailed to the cross, and it would be meaningless if we were.
Yeah.
Because he died for our sins, you know. If they nailed someone to the cross, as they did the disciples back in the day, of course that had meaning because they were laying their life down for their faith. But we're not expected, nor are we supposed to be nailed to the cross. He was nailed. But he says, take up your cross. Number one, identifying. You are crucified with Christ. Identifying. You were buried with him in baptism. Identify. You are risen with him in the likeness of his glory and his image. Identify. So what are all these scriptures referencing? Identify with who I am. Just identify. It's not an effort. It's not work. It's a gift. It's an honor. It's your life. It's the truth about you. It's your truth. You are to identify with who he is and what he's done. It makes life so much easier. It takes the difficulty out of the way. You know, it takes the I'm only human out of the way. It takes, well, I'm under attack. Under attack of what? Under attack of your own misadventures, your own lack of personal, being personal with God, your own lack of identifying with who he is. It's an emptiness. It's not a power. You know, everything we struggle against isn't because there is dark influence and dark power. I've said for many, many years, darkness, shadows, they're not a presence. They're not a power. They're an absence. They're a lack of something, missing something. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness has no body. It doesn't embody anything. There's no power. There's no essence. It's just an absence. He says, come out of the shadows. So if you're screaming at the devil and telling him he is a liar, that really... It has no presence. It's not making the truth any more of the truth than it is. It's not really changing anything. It's just you venting your frustrations, right. You know, rather than saying what
in the wrong place.
In the wrong place. If you want freed from a lie, you feel you've been lied to or deceived, the answer is to acknowledge the truth. How do you do that? I keep the word of God. Because it's easy for me to do when I identify with the Word of God being God's relationship shared with me, just as Jesus shared his relationship with us that he had with the Father. He didn't exert authority. The Word isn't a burden. It's not a weight. It's not difficult. It is the truth that sets us free.
Wow. That's so good, Pastor.
Doesn't it change?
Absolutely.
You know, perception is our reality, and if we perceive things to be so difficult, then they are difficult. You know, you ever been to the dentist and the procedure's maybe a long procedure? The dentist typically, if you have a kind dentist who cares about you as he has his hands in your mouth or she, they will oftentimes say we're almost done. It won't be much longer now. So if you want to ease someone in a lengthy, uncomfortable procedure, you try to let them know we're almost done.
We're almost done.
you try to help them identify with a finished product, a finished work, a finished thing. Yeah. We're done. You're going to feel great. We're almost over. It's the same thing. If we will look at Christ and say, wait, this is not nearly as complicated and difficult as I thought. Keeping the Word of God is such a joy. Jesus didn't come to exert his power, to exert his authority. He came to share his relationship with the Father. That's who we are, and that's what he has given to us. He's given us the faith through the understanding that we are simply sharing, or profoundly sharing, in a relationship with God, and it sets me free from sin, my missed identity, my past, and it shows me a future that is far brighter, far easier. Jesus said it like this, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Identify with me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you. What you think is burdensome, it's light, it's easy, and you'll find rest.
Rest.
Freedom from contention.
When I was younger, I used to, there was this musical called The Music Machine that they would even do in schools, just in my regular public school, and it was a very Christian little musical. Uh-huh. And in it, these kids travel to the land of to Agape Land. And in Agape Land, it's all about the fruits of the Spirit. And they learn about all the fruits of the Spirit and, you know, joy, patience, kindness, self-control, all the different fruits of the Spirit. But I remember thinking that those there was still a disconnect. And I remember the thinking of understanding the difference between those being something that we were meant to, I mean, yeah, you're meant to pursue those things, but it's the idea of what you're putting, it's a weight on you to be this,
right?
But it's not, those aren't called the rules of the Spirit. They're the fruit of the Spirit, and it's what's produced through you.
Yeah.
And Jesus never came and said, you're not this, you're not this, you're not this, you better start becoming this if I'm going to accept you. It's you're not any of those things, but guess what? I'm gonna empower you so that it can come out of you, so you can become those things.
Yes, yeah, you believed a lie, and it wasn't because of any supernatural authority or power made us believe a lie. We were lost because we believed a lie.
Yeah.
So we're found. We find our way because we believe the truth. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." I can envision God looking at humanity and saying, "They work so hard to be who they were initially created and designed to be. If they would just believe me, they'd find their true relationship with reality, which is me. I am the way," Jesus said. "I am the truth. I am life." And they're free. It's just a lot easier and a lot less complicated than Christianese and Christendom makes it. It's just so easy. It's a gift from God. And you know, what makes it changes from what you were saying, you know, the law of having to do it as opposed to the fruit of bearing it, is that if you will accept the truth that in the beginning, God created us in his image and in his likeness to walk in his favor, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not your enemy, it's your friend. Because every time you say, "I have all that I need that deception says it is," you know, if you'll do this, or if you'll do that, or if you work harder, or it's so hard to be, if you'll take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and say, "I don't need anything, any knowledge, anything that is appealing to the eye, that represents anything other than what is already in me, who I am already a part of." It's just simply a way of saying, if you're never distracted by a lie, that's all. Just don't be distracted by a lie, and it's not that difficult. Just believe the truth. And the truth will make you free. It's not this arm wrestling relationship between heaven and earth. It's just simply surrendering to the reality that Jesus is all things and he's all love. God loves you. God cares about you. God's with you, ever present, all the time. And all you have to do is believe who he is, and then believe in that identity. That's why worship is so, one of the reasons worship is so profoundly powerful. We worship him, we adore him, we speak of his goodness, his glory, his grace, his mercy, his love. And then he says, "You're created out of that very same mold." Mm-hmm. This is who you are. You are created out of who I am. And Christ redeemed you back. That's why it's called brought back, redeemed. Redeemed you back to that knowledge, to the truth. There is your identity, in that you relate to who he is. There's your relationship.
Wow. Well, let's do that going forward.
Going,
what do you
forward,
say?
Let's do that.
Awesome. Well, thank you for an amazing, amazing session, Pastor. I look forward to, man, where we're going to go next.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Okay. See you guys. Thanks so much.